It's the day the 20th. It's the 20th day of September 2015, the year of our Lord, Zion Baptist Church. And one of those devotions this week had something to do with and my sheep follow me. My, what a good one. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. John 10:27. And they follow me wherever He leads. And that was a good topic to talk to the lady at the hospital who was having trouble with her son, was that the Lord don't always lead us down those pleasant roads. Not always easy roads. Even the Lord Jesus went through the things, the trials, the tribulations, the troubles. He even had to cross Jordan too, didn't He? He died. That's crossing Jordan. That death. And the Lord Jesus Himself died. So there's nothing we can go through that He hadn't been through and knows exactly what it's like in human form to go through those troubles, those hard times. Except He did it without sin. He was perfect in every way. So, as Spurgeon brought out several of those roads that we go down those roads that the Lord leads us down. Sometimes it's like the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. That requires faith to go down those roads. Sometimes it's down those roads like Paul did when they stoned him to death and left him outside the city for dead. And God raised him back up. He went right back into the city. Those roads are not always easy to go down. Most of the time, for a believer, it's difficult and it's hard to follow in Christ down those paths that He will lead us. Because it's all for our benefit. It's all for our help. So, it takes faith to do that. It takes faith to keep going down those roads. And, you know, I noticed my tomatoes need watering. Hadn't rained in, seems like, forever. But you know, my sugar maples are doing just fine. Hadn't got a dark leaf on them nowhere. They're several years old. Them oak trees around the house look just wonderful. Not a problem. Pine trees look real good. That old cypress out there by the house looks real good. But all those things that we planted this spring, if you're not watering them, by now they're probably dead. Why is that? They just don't have no roots, do they? Their roots are not very deep. Grass? My grass is dead. Don't have very deep roots, do they? It's the only stuff with the deep roots that go deep into the earth that survive dry times. Well, believers are the same way. Believers are the same way. There's dry times, and there's dry times are coming. There's times when there's not going to be any water. And you're going to need deep roots in order to survive those times. In order to thrive in those times, like those sugar maples out there by the house are doing, those oak trees. Don't seem to bother them a bit. They got roots that go down deep enough to where they can get some moisture. And believers are the same way. They got to have deep roots. And they got to be rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ, not in self-will, not in your own abilities, not in your own mind. But they got to be rooted in the Word of God and in the Lord Jesus Christ and faith in Him in order to survive and to go down those trials and those trails, those ways that the Lord will lead His people. Now, if you'll turn with me to Luke chapter 12. We'll see if we can't preach, "Fear the Lord, fool." Fear the Lord, fool. Everybody knows what a fool is. A fool is somebody that's unconverted. A fool is considered to be an infidel, an unbeliever. And why would that be? Why would that... The world uses the word fool incorrectly because of maybe somebody that does a foolish thing. Well, the Bible considers anybody that does not fear God to be a fool.
That's right.
Doing a very foolish thing because they do not fear God. Now, in order... And in our effort to bring glory to God with all that we say and do, and certainly we should on a daily basis, when we get up in the morning, first thing we do is bring praise to God in an effort to give Him glory. To give God glory for the very breath that we took and realize that, hey, I made it another day. I made it through the night and I'm breathing this morning. And praise God for it. And bring Him glory. And in our efforts to do that, we need to make sure that the people that we come in contact understand that they better fear God. If they don't fear God, the Bible considers them a fool.
Right.
A very foolish thing not to fear God. And even with church people these days, and then sometimes even in churches like ours, but especially in these modern day churches, and they've all about became the same as far as their understanding about salvation. They all think that they've got something to do. I even had a preacher tell me the last week that God loves even the people in hell. He wants them to be saved, but they just refused. I let him ramble in his stupidity. I didn't even refute what he had to say. The Bible says avoid unlearned and ignorant questions. And it wasn't even a question. He was just rattling off. God loves the people in hell. He wanted them to be saved, but they just wouldn't. Is that really the kind of God we serve that wants something that He can't have? Really? Is that the God that the Bible teaches us about? A God that wants something but He can't have it for any reason? It just ain't so, folks. It just baffled that poor lady last night, sitting in that emergency room, to come to the realization that the Bible teaches God is sovereign.
Amen.
Over everything. He's God and He doeth as He pleases. And whatever road He leads us down, whatever afflictions and trials, whatever He does with and to our children, good Christian people bow before Him and say, "Thank you, Lord. Thy will be done." While we standing at the door and looking out the window to see if He's made it yet. He's a-coming. Luke chapter 12. We'll begin reading around... Around verse 16. And He spake a parable unto them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits?' And he said, 'This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say unto my soul, 'Soul, Thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said, unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Our God, we thank you for the reading of your word today and pray your blessings upon it. Pray, O God, that we could preach your word in such a way that it be beneficial to your people, that your lambs and your sheep might be fed today. Help us, O Lord. Forgive us where we fail thee. Forgive us of our sins. Be merciful unto your people this day. Be merciful unto your servant as he tries to preach the gospel. We ask it in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Thou fool, he calls him. But God said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? You see, he had no fear of God. And today, in today's society, and in today's modern day churches, they see God as just some good old fella. They see him as a genie in a bottle, that when they need something, they can rub the bottle and call on God and he'll come running to help them out of their troubles. That's not the God of the Scriptures.
Amen.
He's not a genie in a bottle. He don't beckon to your every whim. He don't bow to your wishes. He's not Santa Claus that brings you presents. He's God and he rules the universe. And you better fear him. And you better have respect for him. You better recognize that he is God and he is a holy God and he hates sin. He hates disobedience of his word and he despises, and it's an abomination for people to come and act like they're worshiping him and they're hypocrites. And they're really not worshiping the God of the Scriptures. The Bible says that's an abomination. Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. You see, he was making plans for himself. He was thinking he was in control of his own future. That he had much goods laid up, and he had plenty of retirement money laid up, and he could just do as he pleased. Eat, drink, and be merry. Satisfy yourself. That's a fool. Because you cannot give yourself one more breath. Only God can.
Amen.
Only God can give you another breath. Proverbs 20, chapter 6. Proverbs 20, verse 6. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. Well, what does that mean? Well, that means everybody, not everybody, it says most men will toot their own horns about how good they are. They'll pat themselves on the back about how fine a fellow they are and how good they've done. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. The Pharisees and modern day churchgoers who think that salvation comes by their good works and by their smartness and by their faith that they have of them own selves, because they were delicate enough or they were smart enough or they were sensitive enough somehow within them own selves to believe in Christ. Therefore, that's how they were saved. Just ask them. Ask your modern day folks how they were saved. You see what all they run on about what they did. Even though the Bible says salvation is of the Lord. You must be born from above. Nobody can do that except the Spirit of the living God. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, just like the Pharisees did. Now, you're already in Luke there. Turn on over to the 18th chapter, verse 11. Well, let's start at verse 9. Luke 18, beginning at verse 9, says, "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves." This was just like the man in the parable who had the many barns and had all of his retirement laid up and thought he could make his own plans to eat, drink, and be merry. "That they were righteous and despised other. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess.'" What's he doing? He's tooting his own horn. He's even telling God what a fine fellow he is and how many wonderful works that he does. And what does the Bible say that we ought to do when we've done all that was commanded us? Let us say, "I'm an unprofitable servant and I've only done that which I've been commanded." "And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.'" Now there's a Christian. There's a Christian. He understands that he is never worthy to come before a thrice holy God. It's only by the blood of Jesus that he's able to approach the throne of grace. And in his own self, he's never worthy. Matter of fact, in his own self, he's loathed by God. In his own self, he's a wretch, miserable, vile, wretched sinner. And this poor publican understands that. Fear God, fool, or face hell. And people need to understand this. I mean, these modern day churchgoers need to understand that God is a sovereign God and He's a holy God and He despises and hates sin. Not only that, according to Psalm 5:5 and 11:5, He hates workers of iniquity also. Saying, "God be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." You know, I have a better understanding of why God allows us sometimes. He kind of backs away just a little bit. Kind of hides His face just a little bit so that we can see that without Him, exactly what would happen to us. Without Him, we would do no different than the dog does when he vomits. He'd go right back and lick it up again. And you can wash the hog all you want. As soon as you turn him loose, he's going right back to the mud to wallow in it some more. And so would every human being walking the face of this earth, no matter how fine a fellow he is, if God removes himself from him, he will immediately return to his sin. Immediately. Because it's his nature to do so. He was born of his seed of his father Adam, a fallen nature. And he would return to his sin without the grace of God. Fear God, fool. Matthew chapter 23. You know, anybody that reads the Bible with a desire to bring glory to God, I had people tell me this week that, well, you know, people's argued about this and about that all down through history, and one people read Scripture and they see it this way, and other people read Scripture and they see it that way. And I said, I realize that. I understand that different people read and understand Scripture different ways. I said, but it's really not hard to interpret. You just have to read the whole book. And then you have to read it again. And I even told him about the time I started talking to Brother Randy Parker after we'd been separated for some years. And I told him, go read Romans chapter 9 about 100 times. And after you've read it 100 times, maybe the lights will come on. That you'll begin to get a glimpse of who God really is. That's a wonderful chapter to have modern day Christians or modern day professors of Christianity to read, is Romans chapter 9. I mean, only an idiot can read Romans chapter 9 over and 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 not begin to get a glimpse that God does as He pleases.
That's right.
God saves who He wants to save, and He sends the rest of them to hell. That's God.
Amen.
He has mercy on whom He'll have mercy, and He has compassion on whom He'll have compassion. And who's going to say to Him, what doest thou? He's God. He doeth as He pleases. We need to fear God. Have great respect for Him and not take His name in vain, meaning lightly. Don't take His name lightly. Always do it with the greatest respect. And shun anybody you hear that uses it that way.
Right.
Just sound like that they've committed the worst sin they could possibly commit.
Amen.
To take God's name lightly. That means they don't fear Him.
That's right.
They're fools. They don't fear Him. Matthew 23, verse 5 says, but all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments and love the uppermost rooms at feast and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces and to be called of men Rabbi, Rabbi. Jesus said these Pharisees, this is what they're doing. They love to do their good works so that they bring glory to God. No, so they can be seen of men to be good men, holy men, so that people will call them Rabbi, Rabbi. Verse 25, chapter 23, verse 25. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortions and excess. Verse 28. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisies and iniquities. God hates that. Try to make men think that you're something that you're not. And that's what the modern day church goers are doing today. Many of them are just ignorant from not reading the book. But there's a many of preachers in these modern day churches that are Pharisees, hypocrites and full of iniquity. trying to make people think that they're something they're not. They clean up the outside when the inside is still filthy and vulgar and wretched. Turn on back to Matthew chapter 6. Fear God, fool. Jesus said, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Now these are wonderful instructions. This is part of the sermon, the Beatitudes, of Jesus preaching to the people that come up to into the mountain where he was, and he begins to preach to them and explain what the Old Testament commandments of God actually meant, even though they had been twisted around by the commandments of men. And these Pharisees would go down to the synagogues, and before they threw their mites into the plate, they would have trumpets sounded so everybody could see that here this fine, holy man of God was giving his alms. He was doing his good deeds. And what did Jesus say? Don't you do that. They have their reward. They just got it. When men saw them do their good deeds, and they sure made sure that men saw them, they just got their reward.
Yep.
It's all over with now. Fear God, fool. Fear God. I'm not calling believers fools. I'm calling people who don't fear God, according to the Scriptures, what the Bible says, they're fools. And they're living a very dangerous life. Just like the man that had his barns filled. Today might be the day that God requires their soul of them. That they draw their last breath. You say, well, preacher, we don't need to hear this. We know all this. I'm telling you this so that you can go tell them. And you don't have to be gentle and easy about it either. Some of them you save by snatching them from the fires. Let them know. God gives you the next breath you draw, and He don't have to give it. Tonight may be the night that He requires your soul of you. And you'll die and go to hell. Everybody's not going to heaven. And just because you make some profession of faith, walk down the aisle and shake the preacher's hand, or accept Jesus as your personal Savior, don't mean you're going to heaven. You must be born from above. And when you are born from above, it's a life-changing event. It'll change you for the rest of your life.
That's right.
Now you have to eat. Like them oak trees, you've got to make sure your roots are deep. If you don't, you're going to fall. Just go read Pilgrim's Progress. Just go read Pilgrim's Progress, and you'll see all the little things that come up as you journey through this pilgrimage that'll cause you to stumble and fall when you get off the way that's been laid out. The righteous way. You're going to stumble and fall and get in all kinds of trouble. But hey, that's what children do. Y'all see that chin on Thomas's... scratch on Thomas's chin? That's what happens when you don't watch what you do and you fall. Children have to fall to learn not to, don't they? They have to fall. You can't keep them from falling. You can try, and you can protect them, but you're not helping them any. You're just going to make them get bigger before they fall. And the bigger you are when you fall, the worse it hurts. So better while you're little you fall, so you learn not to fall. Desire the sincere milk of the Word as newborn babes, that you may grow thereby. Just read the book. Keep reading the book. And pray while you're reading it. Have a hungering and a thirsting. It's like I told my son-in-law. You better flee to the cross. And just stay there. Pleading with the Lord Jesus to have mercy on you. Until you believe He has. And then you can get up shouting. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 3. Philippians, Colossians chapter 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, Paul wasn't doubting that they had been risen with Christ or that they were risen with Christ. He was confirming. He was agreeing that they had been risen with Christ. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Now, that's heavenly things, isn't it? That, we just heard that the Lord Jesus went to heaven to His Father's house, and there we have many mansions. And here He says, if you be risen with Christ, if you've been born from above, seek those things. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Seek those heavenly things, those righteous things, those holy things, those good things. Hunger and thirst after them. Want them. Despise everything that God despises. Hate everything that God hates. And love everything that He loves. And He commands His people right here to seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And set your affections. Your mind is what He's talking about. Set your mind. That's what He's saying. Set your affections on things above. Set your mind on them. Not on television. Not on computer pornography. Not on ungodliness. Abstain even from the appearance of evil. Set your mind on things above. Well, preacher, I have a hard time doing that. There's always troubles come up and there's always problems come up. And I'm just telling you what the book says. He's not asking you to do it. He's commanding you to set your mind, your affections, on things above, not on things of the earth. He's talking about the elementary things of this life. We could have kept reading over there in Matthew 23 and we would have learned the same thing there that He's telling you here. That He told them in chapter 2 about the rudiments of this world. The elementary things, the little things. Jesus said, take no thought for what you're going to eat or what you're going to wear. But your Father in heaven already knows what you have done. Don't be worrying about those kind of things. You set your mind on things above. You set your affections on those things, not on things of this earth, earthly things. For ye are dead. I like that word "for." It's always those words that we skip over that are the most important. That little word "for" there is a very important word. Go look it up in your Strong's Concordance. The Greek word there is, I believe it's gar. G-A-R. I believe that's right. Or that's how it's pronounced. I think that's right. I may have it mixed up with another word, but it means because. Got several. Seeing that, it can mean seeing that, because. So he's saying, set your mind on things above, set your affections on things above, seek those things which are above, because ye are dead. Since ye are dead, seeing that ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God, you're dead to the things of this world. You've been crucified with Christ. When He was crucified on the cross to the things of this world, so were all the people He died for. So live like it. Act like it. Talk like it. Think like it. Put your mind on it. For ye are dead. Because ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now, that word hid there, and that statement that he's talking about, your life is hid with Christ in God, you can take it more than one way, I guess, and maybe the Lord meant it more than one way, I'm not sure, but I like to think about it this way. The world is never going to understand me. They don't know God. They're spiritually dead. They don't know the love of God. They don't know the mercy of God. They don't know the grace of God. My life is hid in Christ with God. They don't understand that. Even people who are professors of Christianity and go to church that are yet dead in their trespasses and sins, in their own self-righteousness, thinking that they're getting to heaven because of something that they've done, they don't understand. Spiritual people. They don't understand somebody's mind that's set on things above, not on things of the earth. They don't understand why I'm not pursuing a bigger career in preaching the gospel at a bigger and a better church. Why I won't preach in such a way that I can move up in the world or in the so-called church. Why we won't have big benefits and why we won't have big membership drives and grow the church. It's not my church.
That's right.
I can't grow it. Oh, we can get some big baseball players in here. We can get some quartets with whores wearing spandex up here flipping and flopping around and singing. We can do all that. That's not church. He said, set my mind on things above. Set my affections on things above. Seek those things which are above, because you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. I have no doubt one of these days I'm going to draw my last breath. I'm going home. I'm depending on this book. I'm depending on the Word of God being true. I'm depending on Him to do what He said He'd do. The Bible says that my faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it is the evidence of things not seen. Them witnesses that saw Jesus rise from the dead were amazed that here's that man they crucified and stuck a spear in him, and he was dead, and they put him in the tomb. Now look at him, he's walking amongst us. Well, my faith is the same evidence that Jesus has been raised from the dead.
Amen.
That's what the Bible says.
That's right.
And I believe it. And I believe I'm going to heaven. I believe that when I draw my last breath, the angels will carry me to Abraham's bosom. And crossing Jordan will be a wonderful experience for a believer. I seek those things which are above by the grace of God. Oh, I'm far from perfect. When I'm by myself sometimes, I weep because of how sorry I've been in my past. It's a very sad thing because it makes me think that maybe that's why Zion's not where it ought to be or where it could be. That's a very hurtful thing to me. I wish that had been better. Wish I hadn't done some of the things I've done in the past. But I can't do nothing about yesterday. Only today. And I've been saved by grace. I'm still a saved sinner. I won't ever be perfect till I leave this old world. But I know I love the Lord Jesus and I love His people. And as long as God gives me grace, I'll preach the gospel until I'm dead. So He says, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Now, the hid part. Not only does it mean that my spiritual life is hid from the world, they don't understand it and they never will. They cannot. They don't understand spiritual things. They can't discern or understand spiritual things, the Bible says in Corinthians.
That's right.
Because they're dead in their trespasses and sins. I'm dead in Christ Jesus. I'm dead to the things of this world. I'm dead to this world. And my life is hid with Christ. Me and Uncle Travis get paid on, usually on Fridays. We try to anyway. Sometimes it's, you know, 2 weeks before we get finished with the job and get paid. But we get paid on Fridays, and we usually try to get paid pretty early on Friday so we can wrap up our stuff and get around, get to the bank and do what we need to do. But that money that we've just collected, sometimes it's cash, sometimes it's checks, and we can't tote our wallets. We both done got too old to be sitting on wallets and back hurts and stuff like that. So we just put them in the truck. But have you ever noticed, and even my toolbox, I've had tools stole off of my truck, so I now put them in a toolbox, I put a lock on them. Why is that? Because they're valuable. They're expensive. It's like that money. We always hide it and make sure we lock the doors when we get out. Why? Because it's valuable. And why is my life hid with Christ and God? It's a very valuable thing. And it's hid in Christ because it's eternally secure there. Always. Everlasting secure. What did Jesus say? I will raise them up on the last day. These are my sheep, and no man can pluck them out of my hand. And my Father, who is greater than I am, no man can pluck them out of His hand. We're secure in Christ. We're hid in Christ. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Hey, those are the kind of things you need when it's dry. When it seems like you just don't have the spiritual energy and you don't have the, and you know you're not full of, yeah! When you're not full of that kind of stuff and you're struggling just to keep your head above the waters and it's dry spiritually for you, that's when you need that kind of stuff right there. You need to remember those kind of things. when Christ, who is our life, because I'm dead to the world, I'm dead in Christ, I'm crucified with Him, who is our life, it is only by Him that we live and move and have our being, shall appear, and all of God's children are waiting for Him to appear. So says the Scriptures. Matter of fact, the Lord Jesus Himself said, those that are looking for My coming, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. And boy, we could go on from there and preach, couldn't we? That next word means mortify, put to death, therefore. Since you are who you are, since you are risen with Christ from the dead, and since your life is hid in Christ with God, because they're the same, mortify, therefore. There's that therefore word. Put to death, therefore, all of these things, and He lists them all. Because none of those people that live in those things is going to heaven. Not a one. They won't be not one fornicator, not one adulterer, not one liar, not one thief, not one murderer. None of those people will be in heaven. Just won't happen. Now, God saves all of those people that are His. It doesn't matter what you've done or what you've been. You come to Christ in true repentance, and He'll forgive you for every one of those sins. You'll weep over them. You'll mourn over them when you realize the love of Christ for you. But He'll forgive you for every one of them and cleanse you and make you white as snow, so that you can go before God. You can go before God the Father and say, Father, Father, thank You. Get glory for Yourself through me every day. Get glory for Yourself. That's the only reason I'm breathing, God. That You might get glory for Yourself through my daily deeds, my words, my actions, the way I treat others. Get glory for Yourself, God, in whatever way You want to. And I'll bow before You and say, thank You, Lord. Amen. We'll close there for this evening. Would you ask the Lord's blessings on us?
Thank You for sustaining us to another week. That's what we've been able to accomplish.